Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Eruvin, Daf Pei Hei. And we begin a few lines from the top with the words, Omar Le Abaye Le Rav Yosef, four lines from the top. Now, we remind ourselves from yesterday's shiur, at the end of yesterday's shiur, we had the scenario, the case, where you had two houses that were adjacent to a courtyard that had no openings into the courtyard except from the windows from each of the houses, the house on the right and the house on the left. And there was a bar, a pool of water, a pit with water inside of it that each side was able to use by lowering a bucket from their window into the pit and bring up the water. Now, they did not make an Eruv Chatzeres together, and we had brought down in yesterday's shiur, Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, that in this situation, you have to go and put a ziz, motzi ziz, kol shehu umamale. Each side would have to go stick out some sort of a ziz. This is some sort of projection, some sort of a board that they would extend out from their window as a heker, as a reminder that this is a separate rishus here, and while midoraisa, you'll have to go carry from the pit into their houses via the bucket, because it's from one Rishus HaYochid into another Rishus HaYochid. Midrabban and the rabbi said, no, we need to make some sort of a reminder here that you're not allowed to do this. Why are they allowed to do this without making an Erev Chatzeros? That's because there was no access to this Chatzer where the pit was without the windows, and therefore, since there's no walking access in there, they don't automatically ruin it for each other like they would if it was a regular Chatzer between two houses. It wouldn't be allowed to carry from the house to the chotzer, vice versa, just by putting out some sort of a ziz. So that was the case that we said yesterday. That was Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. And then Rav Yehuda on his own, Rav Yehuda Didei, he said, Afilu Kanya. It doesn't have to be this ziz, this projection, this board, but even a reed, a very thin thing, because the whole purpose is to make a heker, is to make it recognizable, and that can be accomplished even with something that's not very substantive. So that's a quick reminder of the case that we discussed at the end of yesterday's shiur. And now we pick up four lines from the top, Pei Hei Amud Aleph. Amli Abaye Rav Yosef. Abaye tells to Rav Yosef. Now he obviously had a different girsa. He didn't have that Rav Yehuda said it in the name of Shmuel. At least that's the Hava Mina right now. So he was asking, when Yehuda said that you're allowed to put out Afilu Kanya, on what was that based upon? Hod Rav Yehuda de Shmuelhi. So Abaye tells Rav Yosef that this statement that Rav Yehuda had made, that even a kanya is good, is based upon Shmuel. Rav Yehuda had learned by Shmuel after Rav passed away. So most of the statements that Rav Yehuda made were either in the name of Rav or in the name of Shmuel. So Abaye is telling his Rebbe Rav Yosef that this statement that Rav Yehuda made, Afilu kanya, must be based upon Shmuel's reasoning. Why is that? Because the Rav, if it was based upon Rav's reasoning, then we know that Rav's opinion was, Ha'amar, Rav held, Ein Adam Osir Al Chaveiro Derech Avir. If the only access to something is through the air, not through walking, but it's just by going through the air, then one Rishus wouldn't be ruined by another Rishus having air rights over that area. So if this was Rav's opinion, you wouldn't need to have a Ziz or a Kanya or anything else, because the only way that one house would ruin it for the other house in this situation is through their windows, through the avir. And according to Rav, we'll find out later on where the source of this statement of Rav is, but Abaye is telling Rav Yosef that since Rav's opinion is that ein adam oser al chaveiro derech avir, that just going through the air can't ruin it from one person for another person, from one rishus to ruin it for another rishus, therefore this can't be Rav's opinion that you need a ziz or a kanya, and it must be that Rav Yehuda heard this from Shmuel. So the Gemara asks, Udu Shmuel Mehecha. So where did Shmuel get it from? So here we have, obviously, a contradiction. Rashi points out, it can't be that it was Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, who said that you need to have this is, because otherwise it would be obvious. So Rashi points out that obviously Abaye did not have the girsa that we have, at least right now we're still understanding it that way, that it was Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. And all he had was a statement that Rav Yehuda had said that a kanya is good. So the Gemara is now trying to find out, where do we find support that Shmuel holds that the Avir does ruin it, right? Rav's holding Ein Adam Oser Achaveru Derech Avir. It must be that Shmuel's opinion, which is what Rav Yehuda is relying upon here, holds that in fact the Avir does ruin it. Where do we find that? Ilema Meha. The Gemara says maybe it's from the following scenario. What was that? We had this in Yesh'ir also, towards the end of Yesh'ir. We said, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel. We had that complicated case of Gag HaSomuch L'Rishus HaRabim. We had the level called the Gag, which was actually like a platform that was adjacent to a Merpeses, and it was adjacent to a Rosh HaSarabim on one side, and then there was a ladder that was going up to the second floor on the other side. So we said that this platform, this Gag, HaSamuch L'Rosh HaSarabim, Tzarech Sulam Kavu Latiro, it needed to have a permanently placed ladder in order to demonstrate that the people in the Aliyah on the second floor are using this area and to take it away from the Rosh HaSarabim. Now, this clearly shows that the Rosh HaSarabim otherwise would ruin it. Now, they only had access to this through the air. The Rosh HaSarabim was at least 10 tefachim lower than this Gag, this platform. And yet, according to Rav Nachman, who said it in the name of Shmuel, unless there was a permanent ladder demonstrating that the Gag belonged to the Aliyah, then the Rosh HaSarabim people would ruin it. Now, how could they ruin it? They only have rights over here through the Avir. Oh, it must be that the Avir rights, in fact, ruin it. Adam Oser al Chaveiro derech Avir. So that's what we want to suggest, is the source for Yehuda's statement that you need to have the Kanya. It's based upon this scenario that Rav Nachman said in the name of Shmuel. Morris says, maybe not, because we answered yesterday, Dilma Kirav Papa. Maybe, in fact, we're dealing there with the Kumsa and the Sudra. We were dealing with easy usage, not through the air, but actually placing your hat or your coat, your jacket, your sudor down directly on it, and not through the air. Tosos points out over here in Dilma Kidirah Papa that we gave the answer the Kumsa of the Sudra. So what was the original thinking? So he says the original thinking was like a person who's holding something on his back. Shemaf Shilin Masos Bimaklos Al Kasfei. They would hold these big bundles or burdens on their back via a pole. And if you want, you can see a diagram of this, if it's not clear, in the Pirush Chai on page 177, diagram number 56. And these big packages that you're holding with this bar or this pole or board on your back, you don't lower them down onto Rosh HaSarabim. They're going through the Avir because they're long boards over here, and therefore that is called going through the Avir. So that's what we originally thought, and that was why the Gemara says that maybe that source, Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, is from that example. And the answer is no, that was like Rav Papa that says it's the Kumsa and the Sudra. So that's not the source for Shmuel saying that the Avir is Oser. So where is the source? Elmiha. So Gemara wants to say the following is the source. Now here we're going to quote the exact statement the Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel yesterday. So clearly here the Gemara knows that Shmuel made this statement. Miha. Zemotziz is koshu mamali. Vizemotziz is koshu mamali. That each side, each house goes out through their window and puts out this ziz, this projection, this board. And in this situation, that's the hecker. Now, taima, the afik, the only reason why this is allowed is because they put out this ziz. If they didn't put out this ziz, then we would say that the avir would ruin it. Oh, that's the source for Shmuel. Hello, afik, if they didn't put out this ziz, aminon adam osur achaveiro derech avir. Oh, here is our source that Rav Yehuda holds like Shmuel and not like Rav. Now, what was Abaye thinking if he knew that this was a statement that Shmuel had made? So Rashi explains that Abaye shama l'Rav Yehuda amilsa de Shmuel, that Abaye had in fact heard this statement that Rav Yehuda made in the name of Shmuel. And this was Abaye's question. Hachi kam Abaye, ha debar Rav Yehuda kanya, that which Rav Yehuda said, a reed is acceptable, mi Shmuel gomala, he learned it from Shmuel, the boy tikkun, who said you need to make some sort of a tikkun. And the chiddush is, v'osu lashminan de Shmuel rabbe, lav ziz davk omar. And the chiddush is that he was pointing out that when Shmuel said you need a ziz, Shmuel wasn't saying it definitively. You must have a ziz and not a kanya. Elo, the kivin de lo boy ziz dalit, the ziz koshu omar. He didn't require a board that was 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim. Didn't require a separate rishus there. Therefore, he's showing us that you just need a demonstration, a hecker. So therefore, yolif Rav Yehuda minei to adin lekanya. And the chiddush is that Rav Yehuda was saying that when Shmuel said you need a ziz, it was lav davka ziz, but even a kanya. And that was the point that Abai is trying to make. That where did Rav Yehuda get that a kanya alone is good enough? Of course, we know that Shmuel holds that you need to make some sort of a recognizable thing because adam oser al chaveiro derech avir, and therefore, the point that Rav Yehuda is making is that it's lav davka aziz, but even a kanya would be good. Now the Gemara says, okay, We understand Shmuel holds that Adam also a chaveru, but you pointed out that Rav holds that ain Adam also a chaveru derech chaveru. Where do we get that from? Uderav mehecha. Where do we find that Rav's position is that a person does not ruin it if he only has avir rights? So we're going to suggest the following first. Ilei mameha. If you're going to tell me it's from the following scenario, which we've already learned also in yesterday's shir, and we'll admit Hashem see this in the Mishnah. On Daf Pei Zayin, and that is the Shnei Gizustro Zulam Al Mizu. We had the two balconies that we said were adjacent to each other. One was higher, though, than the other. And in the upper one, Asu Mechitza Lel Yona, they made a hole in the upper one, and they had the Mechitza Tluyo, which we explained is a Kal Sheikilu Bo B'mayim, and we allowed that Mechitza Tluyo through the principle of good Ochitz to be viewed as if it goes all the way down to the water. And we said that the upper one is allowed to lower their bucket through the hole in the upper one to go and get the water. Except here, the lower one, also mechitza l'yonah, v'lo also mechitza l'tachtona, but the lower balcony did not make such a hole. So we said the lower balcony ruins it for the upper balcony. And in this situation, unless they make an Erev Chatzeros between them, shtei and asuros achi arvu. Unless they make an Erev Chatzeros, so then the lower one ruins it for the upper one. Now, for Amr Rav Huna Amar Rav, Rav Huna Amar Rav then came along, and this is in the name of Rav. He says that this is only true, lo shanu ela bismucha. If they're near each other, then the bottom one can ruin it for the upper one. But if they're more than dalet amos away, so then it's only the air that is between them that is ruining it. And in that situation, avo muflegis arba, if they're more than four tefachim away, el yona muteris, then the upper balcony has exclusive rights to it. And it's not ruined by the lower balcony. And in fact, the tachton asur, the lower balcony can't use it. And this must be the reasoning, because ein adam oser al chaveiro derech avir. And since it's more than four tefachim, so that's only the avir that is between them, and the avir can't ruin it. And therefore, it is not going to have the lower balcony ruined for the upper balcony. Oh, this is the proof. Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav. He said it's the name of Rav, that the lower balcony is not going to ruin it for the upper balcony, only because the avir there is there. That's the only connection. And ain adam osur achaver derech avir. Mar says maybe not. Dumu shiny hacha. No, that case might be different. You know why? The kibin de lezeh bezrika v'shoshul. The lower balcony has two things that they have to do. They have to throw the bucket up to the upper balcony and then have it lowered down through the hole. So that's a double action, zrika and shulshul. And the upper balcony, they just lower it down. They just do shulshul. And therefore, this is analogous to kilazeh bezrika v'lazeh bepesach domi. This is like when one side has a pesach and the other side has either zrika or shulshul. So we've already discussed in the previous shiurim that a pesach defeats shulshul or zrika in terms of who has the rights to use it. The pesach is definitely nicha, the other one is definitely kosher, and we said we always give it to the side that has nicha usage, easy usage, rather than the side that has more difficult usage. So in the situation where you have a Pesach versus Zrika or Pesach versus Shoshul, it's clear the Pesach wins. So too, the Gemara now tells us, if you have one side that just has Shoshul and the other side has Zrika and Shoshul, so we give it to the side that has Shoshul. In this situation, the upper balcony, and therefore the lower balcony, which requires both Zrika and Shoshul, can't ruin it for the upper balcony. But you can't bring me a raya that the reasoning is because Ein Adam Oser Al Chaveiro Derech Avir. So Gemara says we have to try again. Elamiha, it's from the following discussion. The Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Baravua. Rav Nachman said a name of Rabba Baravua, who said it, Amar Rav, who said a name of Rav. Again, we're trying to find where Rav is supporting this idea that a person is not going to ruin it with just avir for somebody else. So he says, you have the following scenario. You can see this in the art scroll in footnote number 19 in the diagram there. You can see a very nice three-dimensional picture of this in the illustrated Gemara on page 96, diagram number 288, and you can see a good schematic of this in the Pirush Chai on diagram number 57 on page 177. And they're basically all showing the same structure, and it's as follows. You have Shnei Batim, you have two houses. We'll call one house all the way on the left, one house all the way on the right. And Shalosh Churvos Benam. The way we're going to originally set this up is that there are three, one right next to the other, churvos. Churvos are destroyed houses that are one next to the other. So you have house on the left, you have to the right of that a churva, you have in the middle of all of this structure, to the right of the first churva, you have a second churva, and then to the right of that, you have a third churva, which is next to the house on the right. So you have these three churvas, one right next to each other. You have a leftmost one, a rightmost one, and a middle one. That's how the Gemara is going to refer to them. So you have shnei batim, the two houses at the two ends, u'shlosh churvos b'neim, the three destroyed houses in between, and each of these churvos is breached to the other one. But there is no connection from these breaches, from these churvas, into the houses. The houses only have access to these areas through windows, what we call derech halon, the eino kepesach. Rashi explains that this is just a window, but it's not a Pesach. And therefore, this is going to only have access through the air to these three spaces. Each of these is breached fully to the other one, more than 10 amma opening in between the Churva 1, the Churva 2, and the Churva 3. And that's the scenario. Shnei batim u'shlosh churvos b'neim. Zemishtamish besamach shelo ayidei zrika. Zemishtamish besamach shelo ayidei zrika. This zrika that we're actually talking about over here is actually shilshul. It's Rashi's pointing out that you're lowering down from your window into each house to the one adjacent to it. So the rightmost house is lowering it down to the rightmost churva. The leftmost house is lowering down into the leftmost churva. And only part of it is within dalad tvachim of the window. The rest of it is through zrika, and that's why they use this term zrika over here as well. And in the middle, the area is only reached by a zrika from each house. And similarly, the furthest most churva from each house is also reachable from the other houses via zrika. And Rashi points out, b'chol, during the weekdays, she'ein lo, Ba Pesach Pasuach Lo Elochalon, when you only have the windows and not a passageway that you can get into this churva area, so Ein Pirtzas Hamechitza Oseris. So the fact that there are these mechitzas over here that are breached, so they don't ruin it from one to use it to the other. Umutu Lishtamish Bekula. Each side, each house has the right during the weekdays to go and use the entire churva area. The house on the left can't say, hey, this is my churva. The house on the right can't say, this is my churva. Since there's no Pesach to it, it's an open area, and each side is allowed to use all three churvas. V'hu, Einu Yochu Lishtamish Derech Halon L'mirechok El Aydei Zrika. V'chaveru Einu Oser Olov. And now, the person on the left can say, hey, you can only reach my churva, which I can reach by shilshul, you can only reach it by zrika. That doesn't ruin it during the weekdays. So therefore, on a weekday, each side can use all of them. Nevertheless, on Shabbos, this derech avir is going to go, and eino osar al chaveiro, derech avir, she'en lo olav tashmish elade avir. So therefore, on Shabbos as well, the house on the right doesn't ruin the leftmost churva, which the house on the left has easy access to. This derech avir doesn't ruin it. And on Shabbos, the house on the left has exclusive rights to the churva on the left. The house on the right has exclusive rights to the churva on the right. The fact that the others have derech avir access doesn't ruin it on Shabbos for the closer house to that churva. The middle one, however, neither of them can use. And that's what the Gemara tells us now. The house on the right gets to use the churva that's rightmost on Shabbos, exclusively. The other side doesn't ruin it for them, even though they have avir rishus. So you see, ein the person, ein adam oser, by avir. And likewise, the house on the left, zemishtamish b'samushalo, gets to use the leftmost churva, ayidei zrika, even though the house on the right can access it via zrika. The fact that the house on the left has shulshul to use it, as well as zrika, they have precedence, and the house on the right doesn't ruin this churva on the left for the house on the left. Now, the ha'emtsai, however, the middle one, since both of them have equal access, Rav is saying this is bezrika, they're both going to be ruined. Now, the question we'll have to answer in a moment is, how come we don't say that the avir doesn't ruin it? If Rav Shita is that the avir doesn't ruin it, so why does the fact that the right side has avir access to the middle one, why does that ruin it for the left side? If avir doesn't ruin it, so why is the middle one ruined? We'll have to explain that in a moment. But right now, this is the source for the idea that ein adam oser ba'avir, that the house on the right doesn't ruin it for the left house, for the leftmost churva, and vice versa. The house on the left doesn't ruin it for the right house, for the rightmost churva. That is the proof that Rav holds this idea of Ein Adam Oser. The person doesn't ruin it with the access through the Avir. This is all we're saying right now. And this is, in fact, Yosef Rav Bruna, V'ka'amar, Rav Bruna was sitting and learning, and he said, V'ka'amar lo shmaisa, and he said over what I just told you. He said over this vart. He said it over to Rabbi Eliezer. That's the gears that we have. But on the side, it says it should be Rav Lazar. This is the famous Talmud of Rav Yochanan. This is Rabbi Lazar. So he said this over, Rav Bruna said this over to Rabbi Lazar, and he told him this vart, and Amalei Rabbi Elazar, this Rabbi Elazar said to him, really? I don't believe it. Rashi says, Aloshim Bismia, you really said this? Bar Be Rav, did you, student of Rav, really hear Rav say this? Amar Rav Hachi? He couldn't believe it. As Rashi says, Bismia, it's a Aloshim of shock and surprise. The Rabbi Elazar Sovar, because Rabbi Elazar holds me, the Amar Rav and Soy Osir, for the fact that the middle yard is Osir, it must be because of the Avir. The Afal Pishyesh Hefzik Avir, Churva Beino Lubatim, from the fact that the middle one is Aser, it's only Aser because of the Avir rights that the right has, ruining it for the left. And the Avir rights that the left has, ruining for the right. So how can you tell me that this is the source that Rav holds that Ein Adam Oser because of the Avir? So that's what he was shocked. That's what Rabbi Loza tells him. Amalei in. But Rabbi Bruna said, yeah, I heard Rav say this. So he said, well, I don't believe it. We had this lashon earlier in the Masechta as well, with exactly the same. Rabbi Elazar saying, show me where Rav lives. I don't believe that this is true. I can't believe you're quoting this accurately. So Rabbi Bruna shows him. Achvile, he pointed out to where Rav lives, where he was staying, and also the Kami the Rav. So Rabbi Elazar goes to Rav, and he tells him, Amalei, Amar Mar Hochi, did the Rebbe really say this? Really? What about my problem? How come then the middle is Osir? According to this, if the right side doesn't ruin it for the left on the leftmost churva, and the left side doesn't ruin it for the right on the rightmost churva, because ain't all the most there with avir, so then how come they ruin it in the middle? So that was his problem. And he asked, did you really say this? Amalei, amamar hachi? And he said, in. Rav said, yeah, I did say that. So amalei in. Amalei. So Rav Elazar says to him, but you're the one, v'amar hu d'yomar, l'zeh b'shul shul v'l'zeh b'zriko shneim asurin. You yourself are the one that holds that both Shulshul and Zrika can ruin it. Now, don't they ruin it by going through the Avir? As Rashi says, Afagav the Shulshul Noach Mizrika. Even though it's easier to use Shulshul to lower something than it is to throw something, Ho the Eino Mamash Li Echad Mehen Kepesach. But it's not a Pesach. Nevertheless, Lo Sharidan Le L'chad Minayim. You didn't allow the easier Shulshul to trump the more difficult Zrika. For Hochanami here too. There is no door, it's only a window. So even though it's easier for one side than the other, so then it should be no good. So how come you're saying here that it is good? At least the leftmost and the rightmost one. If the middle's no good, so there should be the same halach for the leftmost one and the rightmost one. So that's Rav Elazar's question on Rav. And Rav tells him, you misunderstood. Amalei, mi sabris de kaimei kishura. Your understanding of what I set up as this scenario is incorrect. You're assuming that it's three churvas, one right next to the other. There's a leftmost churva, there's a middle churva, and a rightmost churva. That's incorrect. Lo, that's not right. What the situation is, the kaime kechatsuva, it's actually set up, like Rashi explains, that the middle one is not a middle one. It's shloshet smuchim lebatim, ha'imtsoi keneged hashtayim. The one that we call the imtsoi is actually parallel to the other two, as you can see in all of the diagrams. It's not 1, 2, 3 in order, but it's 1 and 2 in order, and then the third one, which is called the imtsoi, overlaps both of them, as you can see in all of the diagrams. And Rashi says this is like kishlosh raglei akankan. It's like the three legs of a certain container. Hilkach hasmuchin, those that are directly adjacent to the house, the ones that are aligned one next to each other. So there's a left one to the left house and a right one to the right house. There's nothing in between them. So in this situation, they are going to be permissible mutarim, because the ein adam oser al chaver or derech avir. Because as we've been saying, Rav's opinion is that you don't ruin it by the air. So the house on the right is using via shilshul and also partially zrika, but really by a shilshul to the churva on the right. And therefore, that's via Shoshul, and the other one is via Zrika, and therefore, Ein Adam Osra Chaveru Derech Avir, the one on the left doesn't ruin it for the rightmost of these two churvas. And likewise, for the left of these two churvas, the right house doesn't ruin it for them, because the left house has Shoshul with some Zrika as well for parts of it. Rashi explains that in the four Tfachim that are closer to it, it's via Shoshul, and the rest it's via Zrika, and therefore we view the whole thing as if it's via Shoshul. And the other side, the house on the right, is only having access to the Churva on the left via Zrika, and therefore Shoshul over here is Nicha rather than Zrika. And since Ein Adam Oser Al Chaveiro Derech Avir, that's why that the one and two churva over here is permissible, the one on the left to the left house, and one on the right to the right house. The one that stretches straight from the left house all the way to the right house, that's above the two churvas that are next to each other. So this one has equal access from both sides, and therefore you have the situation here that each of them has equal access, shnei and asur, and that's why the emsoi is called asur in this situation. And that's how Rav explains that, Rabbi Elazar, you misunderstood the way Rav Bruna reported my opinion. You thought it was one, two, three, all one next to the other. And in fact, it was one and two next to each other. And the third one, called the Emsoi, overlap both of them. And that's why there's a different din for the Emsoi and than the two that are next to each other. And that's because the underlying principle is Ein Adam Oser Derech Avir. So now we've squared it away. Shmuel holds Adam is Oser Derech Avir, and Rav holds Ein Adam Oser Derech Avir. Now we're going to question both of these two. First, we'll start off with Shmuel. Amalei Rav Papa L'Rava, Rav Papa says to Rava, really? Lema Shmuel, Lesle the Rav Dimi? If you're telling me that Shmuel holds that Adam Oser Derech Avir, so then that seems to go against what Rav Dimi said, which we thought was L'Kuliyama. We thought that everybody agreed with what Rav Dimi said. What did Rav Dimi say? The Chiyos Rav Dimi from Eretz Yisrael. When Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he said over Amar Rav Yochanan, name of Rav Yochanan, when you have a Rishus HaYochid and you have a Rishus HaRabim. Now those are two, it's an Issa D'Oraisa to carry from the Rishus HaYochid into the Rishus HaRabim, or from the Rishus HaRabim into the Rishus HaYochid. So when he came, he said over that if you have a Makom Ptur, if you have a place, She'ein Bo Dalet Al Dalet, if you have some sort of a post that's adjacent to the Rishus HaYochid, adjacent to the Rishus HaRabim, and it doesn't have dimensions of 4x4, and that it is at least 3 Tfachim above the ground, so it's not called the ground, it's not through the principle of Lavud, called ground. So it's between three and 10 tefachim above the ground. If it was more than 10 tefachim, wouldn't be Rishus HaRabim. So you have this area that's less than 4x4, that is between 3 to 10 tefachim above the ground. So in this situation, both the Rishus HaYachid and the Rishus HaRabim have the rights to this, what's called a Makom Ptur. Mutav Le Rishus HaRabim, each of them can use it with one caveat. They have to be careful. You can't have a trick here that the person Rishus HaYochid will place something on this Makom Ptur and then they'll take it from the Makom Ptur and bring it into Rishus HaRabim. That you're not allowed to do. However, you are allowed, each of them, the Rishus HaYochid can use this Makom Ptur and the Rishus HaRabim can use this Makom Ptur. Now, nobody argued with this. Now, why don't we say over here, if Shmuel holds that Adam is Oser Derech Avir, so why don't we say that the other side, let's say if you're going from the Rishus HaYochid to this Makom Ptur, why don't we say that the Avir rights from the Rishus HaRabim should ruin it, and you shouldn't be allowed to do this? That's the question that Rav Papa asked to Rava. Doesn't Shmuel hold from Rav Dimi? And therefore, that would ruin his idea that Adam is Oser B'Derech Avir. So Gemara says, yeah, in fact, in that situation, Shmuel is Modeh that the heir doesn't ruin it. But that's because Hosom Rishuyos Daraisa. Shmuel agrees that in that situation, Ein Adam Oser B'Rishus Avir. Only because it's a Rishus from a Daraisa to a Daraisa. You're going from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim, so that would be an Issa Daraisa. The rabbi said people are very careful about Isurim Daraisa, and there's no need to make a Gezeri here that you can't use this Makom Ptur, because people aren't going to play games with a Issa Daraisa. Therefore, here we can go to the default position that Ein Adam Oser Birshus Avir. However, Hachar Rishuyas Derabbanan, and in our case, with the Churva, in our case, with the well in between the two houses, so that's only a rabbinical problem. The whole concept of not being allowed to carry from one Rishus HaYochid into another Rishus HaYochid is Mutter D'Oraisa, and it's only Midrabbanan that the rabbi said, hey, this looks too much like it's going to be leading people to carry from Rishus HaYochid into Rishus HaRabim, so they made a Gzeira called that you need to have an Eruv Chatzeros. So when it's dealing with a din derabbanan, people often say nebuch, they say, it's only a derabbanan, and they're makel on it. So therefore, the rabbis had to put teeth into it. By a din daraisa, the fact that it's a daraisa will hopefully protect it. And the rabbis often don't feel that there's a need. Sometimes they do. Depends on the individual case. But here, they didn't feel there was a need to put teeth into it to say, well, if you're going to use this Malkum Patur, you may come to carry directly from the Shulchan Aruch to the Shulchan Rabban. Rabbis didn't feel that was necessary. But here, when you're dealing with Shulchan Aruch, let's say the house to the well, or from one house to the Churva, so therefore it's only an Issa Derabbanan, there was a concern, it's only a Derabbanan, and people be Mako, and therefore the rabbis put Chizuk, they put some teeth into it, they gave it strength, and therefore they said, Shmuel said, you have to make this Zuz that comes out, this projection that comes out, which Rav Yehuda says, Lav Davka projection, it can be just a Kanya. So that explains Shmuel. Now we just have to say, does Rav really hold Ein Adam Oser Derech Avir? So Amalei Ravina L'Rava. Mi Amar Rav Hachi, does Rav really hold that Ein Adam Oser? But V'Hayitmar, we learned Shnei Batim Mishnei Tzidi Rishus Rabin. You have one individual that owns houses on both sides of Rishus Rabin. He owns the house on the left of Rishus Rabin. He owns the house on the right side of Rishus Rabin. So he would be allowed with zero problem, if there wasn't a Rishus Rabin in between, to bring from one house into the other house. It's his houses. You can go from your living room into your dining room. There's no problem of carrying. You don't have to make an Eruv Chatzeres by yourself. So if this one person owns both of these houses, so what's the din? Shnei batim shnei tzidei Rishus Rabin. Rabba bar Rav Huna amar Rav. It was said by Rabba bar Rav Huna in the name of Rav. Also, Lizrok Mizel Zeh. You're not allowed to throw from one house to the other house. Now, how come in this situation it's only the Avir of the Rishus HaRabim that would be ruining it for you? So, if you hold Ein Adam Oser, so if you say that a person is not ruined by having Rishus Avir of somebody else, so the Rishus HaRabim's Avir shouldn't ruin it for you. Why can't I throw from my house to the other house? And in fact, Shmuel says yes. Ushmuel Amar, Mutal Lizrok Mizel Zeh. Shmuel says you're allowed to. Again, Shmuel Lushitasa, we just said by Rishus of a Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim, so that's a Daraisa. Shmuel didn't make such a Xerah, and he allows, and he says that Ein Adam Oser B'Rishus Avim in that situation. And therefore, Mutul Lizrok Mizel is there, because there's no reason to make any Chizuk to the Dover, because it's a Dover Daraisa. Going from the Rishus HaYochid, if it lands in the Rishus HaRabim, so that would be an Issa Deraisa. No reason that we have to make a Xerah that you can't throw from Rishus HaYochid into Rishus HaYochid. And we say, Ein Avir Oser. That was Shmuel, Lishitaso. But Rav, why, if he holds normally, Ein Adam Oser, Rishus Avir, does he say over here that it's Oser? That's the question that Ravina asked to Rava. And Rava answers, Omalei, Lav Miukimna. Didn't we already say that this case over here with the two houses owned by one person on the two opposite sides of the Shazarabim is when they're not parallel to each other, they're not at the same height. The midle chad umitati chad. And you can see a diagram of this very clearly in the Pirush Chai on page 178 on diagram number 60. So you're throwing, let's say, from the lower house window up to the house across the street to a higher window. And since you have to throw in a trajectory that's going upwards, you know what's going to happen? You're not such a good pitcher. You're not such a good thrower. And therefore, you're going to miss. And the ball, or the object that you're throwing, is going to land in the Rishus HaRabim. Zimnim demigander the nofil. You're not going to be such a good thrower. And the object that you threw is not going to land in the other window. And it's going to go and roll the nofil and fall. And you're going to say, oh, now go pick it up. And you're going to forget yourself and carry from this Rishus HaYachid into the Rishus HaRabim or vice versa. And therefore, the rabbis made a gzeir over here. But Rav's default position is, Ein Adam Oser B'Rishus Avir. And therefore, everything is worked out. Shmuel, we've worked out Lishitaso. Rav, we worked out Lishitaso. And we understand, hopefully, this sugya. It's a difficult sugya. Now we go on to the next Mishnah. We've already had this Mishnah previously, and now we see it inside. The Mishnah tells us, Hanosein Esei Ruvo. If a person is making an Erev Chatzeres, so we said many times, you have to put the Erev in one house. Actually, the person whose house it's in doesn't have to participate, contribute to the Erev. He has to participate, but he doesn't have to contribute to the Erev, because his house is now being established as the one house, so to say, of all the houses in the Chatzer. And therefore, in this situation, he is showing or demonstrating this Erev, this all combining together. So you have to put it in one of the houses in the chotzer. So what's called the house of the chotzer? So that's simple if it's a regular house. So the Mishnah is telling us over here, if you were to put it in something that's not a regular dwelling place, if you were to put it, for example, in Beis Shar, this is like a gatehouse that is open for all the people. Right now we're talking about a Beis Shar that everybody can use. Let's say there is some sort of a guardhouse or a gatehouse that's into the chotzer. Or you have an achsadra. An achsadra is an area that has a roof over it, but it's open on all four sides. Or you have this marpesis. We said many times that marpesis is like a porch area, a balcony that is surrounded by machitzos. But nobody lives normally in those places, so if you were to place the Erev over there, it wouldn't accomplish showing unity of the entire courtyard people that live in this, the houses around this courtyard, because you put it in a place where nobody lives. So you can't say, well, this is our single dwelling for all the people in the courtyard, and therefore ain't no Erev. And likewise, if somebody lives there, the Hadarsham, if somebody were to sleep there overnight, right? Somebody said, okay, you can stay in the gatehouse, no problem. So if somebody lives there, he in fact ain't no osur love. He doesn't ruin it for everybody else in the courtyard. This person is not considered dwelling there because this place is not called the normal dwelling house. A Beis Shar, an Achsadra, or a Mirpesis aren't things or places where people normally live. So even if somebody lives there, that person doesn't ruin it for everybody else, but therefore that place can't be used to store the Erev Chatzeros. The exact opposite applies to the following areas. A Beis HaTeven, a storehouse where you put the grain, or Beis HaBakar, or where you store the animals, the barn, or Beis HaEtzim, a place where you store the wood, or Beis HaTzoros, or any sort of a storehouse that you're putting in things. So these could be dwelling places, albeit nobody's normally living them, but since these are more enclosed, private areas, so they could be a dwelling place, and therefore, if you were to place the Erev over there, it would in fact show unity of all the courtyard people, and Harez Erev, and it would be in fact a valid Erev. If you could put it over there, and therefore the converse, Vadar Shamosa, if somebody were to stay over there for Shabbos, so if he didn't participate in the Erev Chatzeros, or he didn't do Bittul, so then he would ruin it for everybody else. That's the opinion of the Tanna Kamma. Rav Yehuda adds, and he says, Rav Yehuda Omer, im yeshom tfisas yad shel ba'al habayis, einu oser. If there's one owner, let's say, of all of these places that we just said, if a separate dweller would dwell over there, he would ruin it. That's only true if the owner of that building, who has another house in that courtyard and is already participating in the Erev Chatzeros, doesn't have the rights to store stuff in that house. So let's say he allowed people to stay over in the Beis HaTeven. So that would be, that person normally would then ruin it if he didn't participate. But if the owner of the Beis HaTeven, who also owns a house in that courtyard, so therefore he's already participating in the Erev Chatzeros, has the right to store Tevin in that Beis HaTeven, even though he's letting the other person sleep there, so then the person who's sleeping there is not considered an independent separate dweller. It's considered like the house that Beis HaTeven is owned still, even though somebody else is living there, by the owner of the other house in the courtyard, and therefore everybody is participating in the Erev Chatzeros, and that person, they will not, in this situation, ruin it for everybody else. That was a mouthful. We'll see a little bit more in the Gemara. So we start off, the Gemara says, I'm Rav Yehuda, brother of Shmuel, the Rav Shmuel Bar Shelas. So Rav Yehuda, who is the son of Rav Shmuel Bar Shelas, said the following, Kol Malkum Sharmu, whatever we say, Hador Sham Enowo. So if somebody lives there, he wouldn't ruin it. So likewise, if that's not called the dwelling, so it can't be a place that you can put your Erev Chatzeros. As I said, the two are connected. Hanos Enesiruvu Eno Erev. But there's one exception to this rule. Normally, the two go hand in hand. If it's called a dwelling place, so then you can put your Erev there. If it's not called a dwelling place, the person doesn't ruin it, so then you can't put the Erev there. With one exception. Chutz mi Beis Shar, the Yochid. When we had in the Mishnah, we said a Beis Shar is no good. That was a public Beis Shar. All the people in the courtyard could use this gatehouse. It was like the entrance way into the courtyard house. But if you have something like a vestibule, if you have something like a Beis Shar that's outside your own individual house, Beis Shar the Yochid, so that doesn't ruin it, because that's still considered your house. There's not a lot of traffic going through your house's vestibule, your house's gatehouse. And therefore, in that situation, you could put the Erev Chatzeros over there. And in fact, if somebody dwelled there, if you let somebody stay there, it wouldn't ruin it. And in fact, when the Chacham said, when we said the Beis Shar, the Achsadra, the Mirpesis, and the Mishnah, it was only talking about the Beis Shar of the Rabbim, but not a Shar of the Yochid. And in fact, when we say Eimenicha Bo Erev, it means an Erev is no good, Rav Yehuda, Breda of Shmuel Bar Shela said, but Menicha Bo Shitof, you would be allowed to put in any of these places a Shitof Mavoyos, with one exception to that rule. Except putting in the Mavoy itself. We'll ultimately see that you put this Shituf in one of the Chatzeros of the Mavoy, even though it's outdoors and it's not a dwelling place, that's fine for a Shituf Mavoyos, but that's not fine for an Erech Hatzeres. Erech Hatzeres has to be by definition that your Dorbeh, you put it in a place where you're living, and that must be a house or a structure that has the status of a dwelling place that would ruin it if the person dwelling there didn't participate. But the din that he's telling us here, Yehuda Breder of Shmuel Bashelas, is that by a Mavui it's different, that the Sheet of Levayos doesn't have to be in a house, it can be in a Chatzer, it just can't be in the Mavui itself. Now, the Gemara says, what is he telling us? This seems to be obvious. Michael Mashman, what is Yehuda Breder of Shmuel Bashelas telling us? We already learned this. Tanina, our Mishnah, Hanosi Nesei Ruva Bevei Sharach Sajum Arpeh says, Eino Eruv. So it tells us it's not an Erev. So it says, Erev Hudo Havi. It's not an Erev, Hoshit of Havi. But it is a good Sheet of Mavayos. So what is he telling us? Isn't it obvious from the Mishnah? Our Mishnah said it's not a good Erev, implication being that it is a good Sheet of. So Gemara says, no. Beishar di Yochid, that the individual Beishar of a Yochid, that wasn't mentioned specifically in the Mishnah, and therefore he qualified that. So that was one purpose of Yehuda Breder of Shmuel Barshelis' statement. And the second statement was the Aver de Mavui, that you can't put it in the Aver of a Mavui, also wasn't stated specifically in the Mishnah, and that's the Chiddush, the Lo Tanan. These weren't stated in the Mishnah, and along comes Yehuda Breder of Shmuel Barshelis to teach us these two dinim. And the Gemara says, Taka, this is 100% right. Tanya Nami Yochi. A Braitza says exactly what Yehuda Breder of Shmuel Barshelis said. Yehuda Breder of Shmuel Barshelis is an Amora. They didn't necessarily know all the Braitzas. They knew all the Mishnais, but they didn't know all the Braitzas. And therefore, we often have Tanya Nami Yochi. I've said this many times. A Braitza in support of an Amora. You'll never find Tanan Nami Yochi. You'll never find a Mishnah in support of an Amora because they knew all the Mishnais. And they wouldn't state something that was Beferish in the Mishnah. That's why we always ask, oh, Michael Marshall on Tanina. We learned it in the Mishnah. Of course he knew the Mishnah. But this Braitza supports what he said, because he didn't necessarily know the Brisa, or else he would have brought the Brisa down himself. And what did the Brisa of Beferish say? Exactly what he said. Hanosin esei ruvo bevei sharach sadru marpeses ubechotzer ubemavoy areze erev. It's an erev. The Gemara says, what? But none. Ain't erev. Our Mishnah said it's not an erev. How can you tell me it's an erev? So we qualify this Brisa and say, yeah, ema areze shikov. It didn't mean to say erev chatzeros. It meant to say that it's a good sheet of mavoyos. But that leads itself to a question as well, because this Brisa said the Beishar, the Achsadra, the Marpesis, and the Chotzer, good. We understand why that's a perfectly good Sheet of Mavayos. But it also said a Mavui, and Rabbi Yehuda Breder of Shmuel Barshelis said that a Mavui is no good. So this Brisa seems to contradict his second point. Sheet of B'mavui lo mintar. And the reasoning behind this, the Gemara tells us now, is because when you put it into a Mavui, it's totally unprotected. The Chotzer is a more private area. Only the people in that one individual Chotzer have the right to use all the houses in that Chotzer have the right to use that Chotzer. So it's more private. But a Mavui has many Chotzerus around it, so that's not protected. And the Shituf has to be protected. So, Kasha and Rav Yehuda Shmuel Barshelis. So the Gemara says, Eima b'Chotzer sheb Mavui. No. You have to reinterpret the Brisa one more time. It didn't mean that for the Shituf Mavui, it could be in the Mavui. It meant it could be in a Chotzer of the Mavui. Amr Yehuda Shmuel, another statement that Yehuda made in the name of his Rebbe Shmuel, B'nei Chabura Shayu Mesubim. If people were all sitting together, we had this previously as well, they're all sitting together Friday afternoon and eating their Friday afternoon meal. And Baruch Hashem, it's a beautiful gathering together. Mitzvah Hashem, we should all be zochah to have such gatherings in the near future without COVID restrictions. So you have this large group of people gathering. All the people from this chotzer are eating their afternoon, Friday afternoon meal together. And B'kiddush Shalom Hayom. And then Shabbos came. So they were eating with when, and they then saw that it suddenly became Shabbos. So pas shala shulchan som chenaleim mishum erev. So the food that they're eating can be the erev chatzeros in this situation, because the whole purpose of erev chatzeros is to make them all as one. Here they are all as one. They're all eating together. Now, that's the first version that said it was good for an erev chatzeros. A second version of this that Rav Yehuda Moshul said was v'armi lo mishum shituf. He said it's good to make a sheet of mavoyos. So he said two statements. One is good for Erev Chatzeros, and one is good for Sheet of Mavayos. So I'm a rabbah. Rabbah says these two statements aren't in conflict with each other. V'lo pligi. They don't disagree with each other. The first statement that it's saying it's an Erev Chatzeros says, Kan b'misubim b'bayis. That would be, when Rav Yehuda Marshul said this, they were sitting in one house. So that could function as an Erev Chatzeros for all the people in that Chatzer. They're all there together in that house. So it makes that house as the one place. That's an Erev Chatzeros. And the second statement that was made, that it was a sheet of mavoyos, that's talking about the people were in a yard. They were having an outdoor meal. It was COVID, and they couldn't eat indoors, so they ate outdoors. Kan b'mesubim b'bayis and kan b'mesubim b'chotzer. The first case was when it was an erev chatzeros, they were in a house. The second case was when they're eating in the courtyard, so that would be working, as we had said, That would show that this courtyard, all the people from the different courtyards are together in one place. So therefore, that is going to be the Shituf Mavayos. So that makes the courtyard, all the courtyards able to come together as a Shituf Mavayos. And I'll show you that this is right. The Gemara says, Amalei Abayla Rabba, Tanya de Messiah, your Taka, right? This teretz that his Rebbe, Rabba, just gave is correct because Tanya de Messiah, look, we have a Braisa that says exactly like this. The Braisa says, Erev Chatzeros Bechotzer, Vishituvi Mavoyis Mavoy. The Erev Chatzeros is in the Chotzer, and the Shituf is in the Mavoy. The Gemara says, that can't be right. Vavinon Ba, Abaya said, how can that possibly be the way to understand this Braisa? Erev Chatzeros Bechotzer, that's not allowed. But none, Erev Chatzeros has to be in a house. And also, in the Seiruva, Bevei Sharach, Sadrum, and Pesis, our Mishnah ain't aware of it. It's not a good Erev. It has to be in a house. And therefore, you have to reinterpret this Bryce in the following way. Ema, what you have to say this Bryce is telling us, which is exactly what Rabbi Yehuda Mer Shmuel said, according to Rabba, is Ema, Eruvei Chatzeros Bebayis Shebechotzer. When we said Eruvei Chatzeros is in the Chotzer, it means in the Bayis in the Chotzer. And we said that a Shituf Mavoyis is in the Mavoy, we said it meant Shituf Mavoyis Bechotzer Shebemavoy, which is exactly how Rabba interpreted the statements attributed to Rav Yehuda Mer Shmuel, the two statements, and Baruch Hashem, that solves all the problems. Then we quote the Mishnah. Mishnah said that Rav Yehuda qualified, and he said, Omer, im yeshom tvisas yad v'chule, if the owner of one of the houses in the chatzer, who's made part of the Erev Chatzeros, has lent out or rented out his beishar diyochid, or on another structure, the base tevin, the base otsar, and he let another person live over there, it doesn't ruin it if that person doesn't participate, as long as the owner of that area has tvisas yad rights. He has the right to go and store stuff there. So the Gemara questions, hey, chidon tvisas yad, exactly define to me what tvisas yad means. So the Gemara says, kigon, chatzero shel banyas ben banyas. It's like the chatzor of this very, very wealthy person whose name was Banyas, who had a son who he also named Banyas, right? Amongst the Sfaradim, they name after the living. You can have a Sfaradi person who names his son the same name that he has. So this person, Banyas, he named his son Banyas. And this father, Banyas, was a very, very, very wealthy person, and he had many, many properties, as we'll see in the Gemara. So this happened one time, that the son, also Lekame de Rebbe, the son of this very wealthy Banyas, whose name was Banyas, came to Rebbe. On the side in the Gemara, it says that this person was a Talmud of Rebbe. And he came to him, and he said, also the Kami the Rebbe, and Amar Lahu, Rebbe, when he saw him, said, oh, this very chash of a guy is coming. Panu makom leben meyamana. Make room for this very wealthy person, who is a person who has a meyamana. A mana is 100 zuz, and he has 100 zuz, a lot of money, and make way for him. The Gemara will explain, why would he give such honor to a rich person. We'll see this in a moment in the Gemara. Very beautiful idea. In any event, that's when this son of Banyas, whose name was Banyas, came to Rebbe. Also in a Shachrin, and then another person came, and Rebbe thought that the second person was even more wealthier than the first person, than Banyas. And he said, also in a Shachrin, and Amalu, Rebbe said to everybody that was there, we turned to the Yom Aleph, Pei Vav Amud Aleph, and he said, ooh, panu mokom leben masayim mana. This guy's even wealthier. Make way for this person who has 200 zuz, 200 mana. So he's much wealthier, twice as wealthy. Make way for him even more. Give him more kavod. As Rashi says, Klomar, Makum Choshev Yoser Ben Gedolim, Lefi Kvod Oshro. So he has even more money over here. As it says on the side, Savor Hoyo Rebbe, Shezer Osh Yoser Mi Ben Banyas. He thought that this guy was even richer than Banyas' son. So the people said to him, Amal Afon of Rebbe Shmuel, Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Shmuel, Rebbe Yossi said, Rebbe, you don't understand. This Banyas is far wealthier than the second guy. Aviv Shalzeh, this son, Banyas, who's your Talmud, his father, Banyas, is like the wealthiest guy in the world. He's much wealthier than the second guy who you seem to give more honor to. This Banyas, the father, Yeshlo Elef Svinos Bayab. He has 1,000 boats in the ocean. Uchenegdan, and he has Kenegdan, Elef Ayaros Bayabash. He has 1,000 cities. This is a Lashon Guzma, but it means he is wealthy. He's the Bill Gates of their day. So why did you give him less kavod than the other guy who's wealthy, but nowhere near as wealthy? You know, one's a millionaire and one's a billionaire. So Amalo, so Rebbe said, the next time you reach the father Banyas, Lishitagia, Eitzel Aviv, when you reach the father Banyas,
Emarlo, tell him that he should dress his son nicer. Al tishagreyu bekelim halolu lufanai. Don't send your son wearing this average clothing in front of me. He didn't look like a schlump. He looked like a rich guy, but he didn't look like he was a billionaire. You sent the guy wearing a nice suit, but he didn't send the guy wearing a tailored, fancy, really, really, really fancy garments. And this way I won't be able to recognize how wealthy he is and give him the proper cover for wealth. Now, why in the world would you give covered to wealth? So it says, Rebbe Mechavid Hashim. Rebbe was Mechavid Hashim. So there's an absolutely beautiful Rebbe Kiva Eger over here. You can see this on the daf in the bottom in the Gilyan Hashas, where it says, from the Mariel, who brought down the name of Mariam Segel, the Yesh Lomar, Mitoch She Rebbe Atzmo Hoya Oshim Muflok. Rebbe, it says, he and the Caesar Antoninus were very, very good friends, and they were the two wealthiest people in the world. And they had even fruits that were not in season on their table all the time. So Rebbe was phenomenally wealthy. So Rebbe Eger continues, and he says, since Rebbe was an usher muflag, muflag means phenomenally wealthy, and therefore, when people would give him kavod, he didn't want to use his Torah as the reason that they're giving him kavod. And therefore, l'kach hirgil atzmo l'chabid ashirim. So he would give honor to wealthy people, as we'll see, wealthy people who use their money wisely and gave lots of money to tzedakah. So he would give honor to such wealthy people. In order to teach other people, you give honor to wealth if this wealth is used properly. He wanted people, they're always standing up when he came into the room. They're always saying, bowing down to him, saying, oh, you're the great Rebbe. So he wanted them to think in their minds they're giving him honor because of his wealth and not because of his Torah learning, because we have a famous Gemara in Megillah that it says, shall a person shouldn't use the Kesser Shel Torah for personal aggrandizement. So lo rotzo lishtamish bekesser shel Torah litol atorah liskado ba. He didn't want people to give him honor because of his Torah learning, and this way, oh, you get it, they're all giving me honor, it's because of my Torah, and therefore he's using his Torah. He wanted them to give him honor because he has $1 billion in the bank, and big deal, he didn't care about that. And he said, okay, they want to give me honor for that, that's not going to use any zechusim, so to say, that I'm using up my Torah by getting honor for it. What a beautiful idea. And in addition, what this is telling us is that you only honor rich people if they use their property properly. And that's what Rebbe did. He was Mechabed Hashirim. Rebbe Kiva likewise Mechabed Hashirim. And we see Kedidarish Rava Bar Mari, and Rava Bar Mari darish in this from the Pasuk in Tehillim, where it says, Yeshev Olam Lifnei Elokim Chesed Yemis Man Yinsuru. Now that literally means that the Melech will stay in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who will appoint him to be over here Chesed Yemis, and that will prevent him from ever spoiling. He'll stay preserved. And he darshaned it as follows. When will the king be able to sit in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? In other words, when will the world be good? Bisman shechesed yemes man. Then chesed and emes are done with mon, with food, with the mon, with property, with your wealth. Yinsru, that will go and save you, and that will keep the world going. So therefore, Rebbe, Rebbe Kiva, others, they were mechabed the Ashirim for various reasons, but only it was Ashirim that used their money properly. Mark continues to get to the Mishnah. Mitzvah Shem Rabba Baruchan Omar Kigon Yossi Shemachresha. What's an example of this Tvisas Yad? So it doesn't have to be a huge amount. You can store over here just the little Yossi, the little peg that you have in your Machresha, in your plow. As long as you can store something there, that's still called Tvisas Yad, that the person there won't ruin it if he doesn't participate in the Erev Chatzeres. However, Omar Rav Nachman, Tana the Shmuel, Rav Nachman said they learned in the Beis Medrash Shmuel that a Dovor Hanitol B'Shabbos is Osir, something that could be removed on Shabbos, is not called Tvisas Yad. Rashi says, Eino Tvisas Yad, because it can be removed, V'oser, and therefore, that person could throw it out, get rid of it, the boy Shokel, V'shadi Leilav Rai, because if he wishes to, he's allowed to move it and take it out of his house, and therefore, the Tvisas Yad is removed. So therefore, if it's something, Rav Nachman qualifies this for the Beis Medrash Shmuel, they said that Rabbi Baruch Hanan's statement that it could be just a Yossi Shemachresha, that's not necessarily correct. It has to be something that is not able to be moved. If it's able to be moved, so then the tenant can go put it out of his house, and then there's no Tvisas Yad. But if it's Dovish and the B'Shabbos, for example, like something that's Muktza, so then it's not allowed to be removed, and therefore the person has a continuous, persistent Tvisas Yad there, and Eino Oser. Therefore, that person is not considered a totally independent dweller, and if he doesn't participate in the Erev Chatzeres, he doesn't ruin it. Tani Nami Yochav, we have a rice in support of Rav Nachman, said in the name of the Beis Medrash Shmuel, Yesh Lo Tevel, if there is tevel in there. Tevel is muktzah because it hasn't had trumas and maizes. Now I'll take off trumas and maizes on Shabbos. Or yesh lo ashoshes. Rashi says ashoshes is shalbarzel. These are pieces of metal. It's like a 2x4 of metal. Katichos gedolos, big pieces of metal that are used for building, and therefore they're muktzah on Shabbos. So in these situations or anything like it, the chaldover she'enu nitel b'Shabbos ain't a oser. If it can't be removed on Shabbos, so then that's establishing that the owner of the house has tefisas yad there, so even though there's a tenant there, the tenant doesn't ruin it if he doesn't participate in the Erev Chatzeros. This was a long, complicated shiur, and Yitzhak Hashem will pick up with the Mishnah tomorrow. Have a wonderful day.